The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to start this show just a little bit different. I want to grant a moment of silence for the first responders, the American citizens who lost their lives on September the 11th. I know that today is the 12th, but I wasn't on the radio on the 11th. I had an event, but I wasn't on the radio on the 11th. And so on the 12th, I want to honor all of the people who lost their lives, the people who are still dealing with and struggling with what happened on September the 11th in 2001. I want to give a quick moment of silence. So if you can join me, we'll give a moment of silence for those who have been impacted the most from September 11, 2001. Now, I'm hoping that the moment of silence helped us reflect on what happened on September 11th. I know that some people that are listening, maybe a small fraction of the people that are listening, wasn't even alive when the terrorist attacks on 9/11 happened. I think it was a pivotal moment in our country. It was a moment of sadness, a moment of devastation. Many people lost their lives. And I also believe that from the ashes grew a yearning for unity and for our country to become greater and fight back together. And I think that it had some benefits. When I say benefits, I think it encouraged us to work together and do better. I really do believe that that's what happened. And unfortunately, it took a scenario of chaos in order for our country to come together and stand strong. You know, there's a concept out here that wars are what cause America to come together because we find common ground. And we celebrate our first responders, and you know it causes us to come together in a way in which nothing can ever match. And I just want to go through some numbers and some statistics from September the 11th for those of you who weren't alive or aren't familiar with what I'm talking about. On September 11, 2001, it marks the worst terrorist attack in world history, and the deadliest foreign attack on American soil since the Japanese surprise attack on Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941. The attack resulted in the death of 2,996 people and the injuries of 6,000 plus others. The death toll included 265 on the four planes and 2,600. I'll give you the exact number, 2,606 in the World Trade Centers and the surrounding areas and 125 at the Pentagon. In New York City, more than 90% of the workers and visitors who died in the towers had been at or above the point of impact. In the Northern Tower, 1,355 people at or above the point of impact were trapped and died of smoke inhalation, fell or jumped from the towers to escape the smoke and flames, and were killed in the building eventual collapse. The destruction of the three staircases in the first tower prevented people who were above the point of contact from getting down, and many of them died. It was over 107 people. In the Southern Tower, there was one staircase that was still available when plane flight 175 hit. It allowed 14 people located on the floor of impact, including one man who saw the plane coming in and four others on the floor level to escape. A total of 630 people died in the towers, fewer than half of that number killed in the North Tower. Casualties in the Southern Tower were significantly reduced by some occupants deciding to start evacuating as soon as the Northern Tower was hit. This was a tremendous day of loss and chaos, confusion in our country. There are many who are skeptical about some of the involvement in the World Trade Center towers. And, you know, there's conspiracy theories out there. Some of it is conspiracy fact. But I think that what I want us to take away from what happened on September the 11th, 2001, is that America was tested, was tried, and persevered. And we have never seen and will never see the likes of a terrorist attack like that. We've seen the advent of heightened security. When you go to the airport, people are doing their due diligence. There's a lot of other safety measures that are in place that will prevent that from ever happening again. But we have to remember the ones who lost their lives on September 11th. Men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice. Ultimate sacrifice isn't a word, isn't a catchphrase. It's an actuality that has occurred, and people had to die to save other people's lives. And I just cannot thank the men and women who put their lives on the line to save others. Running into a burning building, knowing that at any point this building could collapse, at any point you could be consumed with smoke and fire, but the men and women of courage, of dignity, with the American spirit, ran up the towers to save as many people as they could, and many of them lost their lives in an attempt. There is no other situation that I can think of this much courage and bravery and sacrifice than what happened on September the 11th. This is why I love and appreciate first responders so much. This is why I became a police officer, because I think there's nothing more honorable than these people who voluntarily give up their lives for their friends. And I want us to also remember those who did not die, but had to be a part of the recovery and the rescue effort after the buildings collapsed, the tremendous amount of work that they did, the horrible scenes that they can never unsee. Some people were exposed to toxic air, chemicals, which caused them to subsequently die years after September 11th. So I want to give a special shout out to all the first responders that are still ready to go, willing to put in the work, no matter what the circumstances are. And I pray that our country never forgets 9/11 so we can be better because of it. It's quite shameful when you look around the country. There are schools that don't even teach about what happened on September the 11th. And if you ask me, probably the reason why they don't teach it, because they don't want to be Islamophobic. Because that's exactly what happened. Let's not act as if these were Christians. Let's not act if this was a Mormon sect. Let's not act as if these were Buddhist. These were Islamic terrorists. And I don't want anybody to be unaware or confused about the theology, the psychology of people who hate America and people who believe in Sharia law and believe in taking over the world, and that the Christian society is filled with infidels. And there's nothing wrong with teaching that side of Islam. There's nothing wrong with calling it for what it is. And there's nothing wrong with us taking a stance and making sure that this never happened again. Unfortunately, in the 30 seconds or so I got left, we're allowing people to come in through our southern border untapped. They'll never come through the airplanes again. They'll never be able to fly over in our country and establish. But I think there's a tremendous threat of people just like the ones on 9/11 coming in through the southern border, posturing up in our country, being radicalized, radicalizing others, and planning an attack. We better stand up now so we'll never find ourselves in another 9/11 position. You listen to The Officer Tatum Show. I got more to talk about. Y'all hold the phone. I'll catch you after the break.
As you look at the picture from our chopper now arriving at the scene, Jim Friedel in Hoboken said it appeared to bank sharply and smash directly, perhaps purposefully, into... Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
There's another one.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. There's another
this
one.
This seems to be on purpose.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that
now
a plane?
Now it's obvious, I think, that there's a second plane just crashed into the World Trade Center. I think we have a terrorist act of proportions that we cannot begin to imagine at this juncture.
Oh, my God.
My goodness. A second plane now has crashed into the other tower of the World Trade Center. Obviously, suicide, terrorist attack.
Absolutely.
On the World Trade Center. What we have been fearing.
Chopper 5, anybody on?
What we have been fearing for the longest time here apparently has come to pass. A disastrous terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. Both towers, planes smashing into each one.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
You have heard and seen most of the truth behind the events of January 6th. And now you can visit Washington, D.C. on September the 24th and join J6 Solidarity and their peaceful and patriotic event that will expose the entire truth of January 6th at our nation's capital and not just what the mainstream media has lied about. Join J6 Solidarity and their well-known guest speakers to discuss the wrongful arrest and incarceration of all the Jan 6 patriots. Hear what speakers like Salem Media's Dinesh D'Souza, Newsmax's Johnny Tobacco, Joe Altman, the host of the Conservative Daily Podcast, and Professor David Clements, and many more have to say. This peaceful event will take place on September the 24th in Washington, D.C., next to the Federal District Court. For all the details, go to our new website, the letter J, the number 6, solid.com. That's j6solid.com. Don't have your head in the sand. Learn the truth. Go to j6solid.com now. Thank you for your time, your patriotic loyalty, and as always, God bless America.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
I did an event yesterday, me and Terrence Williams, at a facility in Phoenix. Kerry Lake was there. It was a tremendous, tremendous event. We were there to support the men and women who were in law enforcement, first responders, military, and to show love and respect for those who were there on 9/11 or who have a connection with people who were there on 9/11. It was such an amazing event, packed house. It was a little bit of a comedy slash patriotic skit. It was amazing. Kerry Lake was amazing. Terrence Williams was amazing. I mean, people literally stomach was hurting, cramp. Their stomach was cramping. They was laughing so long. I mean, it was hour shows with multiple hours, and people were laughing all the way to the very end of the show. And so I know that the Forgotten Man, my producer, we were talking about 9/11 yesterday, and he you know. He was telling me how hard it was or difficult it was on him, you know, having that experience, being there, being in those buildings before everything hit the fan. And it really triggered me to realize, I don't like to use the word trigger, it encouraged me to realize that there are some people that had such a tremendous effect on 9/11. I remember when I first saw 9/11, and this is how ignorant I was and how I was in a bubble. I had no idea what the World Trade Centers were. I had no idea. I had never been out of Fort Worth, Texas. And so I saw it on television. I was in middle school. I think I was in like the eighth grade. And I remember the World Trade Center was a hit. At first, I thought it was a movie. Then, you know, I started to realize it was actually a news report, and I thought that it was in another country. I was like, oh, man, that's crazy. And then I realized that it wasn't in another country, and that was in the United States of America. And that we had just been attacked by terrorists. They ended up canceling school the next day. And that's when I knew that it was real. It wasn't until I got a little older that I realized the tremendous impact that this particular attack had on America, had on, you know, myself. You know, what actually happened to us and how do we prevent it from happening again. Now, for all my people out here who are slightly on the board of a conspiracy, I have to say this because I just believe it with my whole heart. There's something very suspicious from our government that I think occurred on that day. I think something very suspicious. Not taken away from anybody who lost their lives. I think that was a genuine experience by the everyday people who out here trying to do what's right. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are unanswered. There's a lot of mysterious things that have happened, video footage. I mean, I hate the fact that I even have to say this stuff, but our government is so corrupt that I encourage everybody to always be skeptical of the things you see. Do it with kindness. Do it with, you know, in a generous way, being compassionate for those who are affected. But we can't just deny that our government is doing some creepy, creepy stuff. And I would not be surprised, because some people say it was an inside job. I wouldn't be surprised if our government didn't know more than what they're alluding to. You know, I'm not an architect. I don't know about biology. I don't know about chemistry. I don't know how combustion and the melting of steel at what temperature or whatever the case may be. But I just know, man, when I saw those towers go down, that was very bizarre to me. And then the tower down the street going down was very bizarre to me. And the way our government responded to it made it even worse. I don't think they had a good explanation about anything that happened. The Pentagon, the planes hitting the ground in the middle of that field. I think it was in Pennsylvania. I can't remember. They have no real explanations. And then that led to us going overseas and fighting in a 20-something year war, starting out saying that there's weapons of mass destruction, which never we don't find any evidence of that. And then our government occupying other countries for over 20 plus years, and we have nothing to show for it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some military person will call in and correct me, but I feel like we have nothing to show for it. All those soldiers died. All that money was spent. And at the end of the day, these people in Iraq and Afghanistan and in the Middle East, they're fighting a never-ending war. They have a never-ending jihadist mentality. They will never love America. I don't care what we do. We're not going to prop up nothing. We're not going to take nothing down. These people have been doing this since Jesus. And I don't think it's going to stop whatsoever. But let me get to a couple of other prominent things that I was reading in our little deck here. How is America and inflation treating our military veterans? You know, I was looking at this article from Just the News, and it reads, Biden's inflation hits soldiers hard as U.S. Army recommends food stamps for troops. It says the U.S. Army recommending soldiers to apply for SNAP benefits, also known as food stamps, to help cover the rising costs from inflation. The U.S. Army cities for the highest prices on a range of goods because of inflation. In its recent release, official guidance. Dang, I can't read. But just pretty much what it's saying is that inflation is having a tremendous effect on the men and women who serve in the uniform, and I'm hoping that they vote differently. All of this stuff can be changed, rearranged, reorchestrated if we would just simply vote in a different manner. This has nothing to do with Republican, Democrat. Let me just be very clear. This has nothing to do with Republican, Democrat. This has everything to do with policies that will affect change or will cause our country to go deeper in a hole. I was on the airplane with a guy I had just met. He had a mask on. I don't care because I'm not wearing a mask. But he had a mask on. Me and him, you know, we were talking. At first he had his mask on. We were talking with the mask on. And then we started getting into things that we believed in common. He took his mask off. We drinking whiskey on the airplane and having a really good time. He never put his mask back on, I don't think. However, I realized something, because before I opened my mouth, he started talking. And a lot of people think because I'm black that I'm a Democrat. Because I'm black, I'm somehow against Trump and I'm into the social justice world. And I just let the man talk. I picked up on it that he's probably on the left. I said, I'm more conservative, because he asked me what I did. I said, I have a syndicated radio show. He said, are you conservative? And I said, he said, are you like a Trump conservative? And I said, yeah, I support Trump. And his eyeballs almost fell out of his head. And after we had a conversation, I realized that we had more in common than we didn't. And I believe that's the story of America. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Uncle Tom 2 is an eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Brandon Tatum here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historic footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with yours truly, Vody Bachum and Chad O. Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. You're listening to your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum. Website, TheOfficerTatum.com. I want to talk about this story out of Silicon Valley. My wife had made a video about it. Me and her was talking about this, and it's very creepy and bizarre, but I think there's a lesson in this situation, and it's an unfortunate lesson, but it's a lesson. I don't know if you guys remember this story of the lady who was beheaded in California by her estranged boyfriend. I don't even think they were married. They had a kid in common. Come to find out, he's an illegal alien. So I guess they got into an altercation. He's previously an abusive person, and at one point, I guess they got into the last fight, and he literally beheaded her in the middle of the street with the samurai sword. Now, why are you telling this story, Mr. Tatum? Because this is the untold reality of domestic violence. If you listen to statements from the family repeatedly said he was abusive. Family would try to convince her to leave this fool, and it feels like the more that they spoke to her about it, the more they asked her to leave, the longer and the deeper she was involved in this psychopath. And she had one child with him, and she had a child with another person, which should have been incentive for her to leave that dude alone. Now, I'll say this, because I'm speaking of this situation like I would be speaking of the situation if this young lady was my mama, or this young lady was my sister. And if you are out here listening, you gotta get out of these relationships. Nobody's gonna save you. If that man puts his hands on you once, he doesn't have the capacity to love you. It's not whether you think he loves you or not. It's that the fact that he does not have the capacity to love you like you deserve. Unless you believe you deserve to be beaten and killed. But if a man can posture himself up to put his hands on you, that man is not well. And don't think that somehow, some way, if you tell him the right thing, or if you keep rubbing his back at night, somehow he's going to come out of that loop of confusion and somehow be a better man. You are not God. You are not going to change a man. That's up to God and that man. If the man is a crooked today, if he putting his hands on you today, or he's put his hands on his last girlfriend, please leave him. Please. According to reports, she got a restraining order against him, and she kept violating the restraining order by contacting him. I have minimal excuses available for people that participate in domestic violence like this. I believe that man should be put to death for what he did. I'm just going to be straight out with it. However, what are you going to tell your kids? Oh, daddy is a bad guy. No, but mommy participated in this situation with this bad guy. And it's sad, but I see it all the time. When I was a police officer, I saw it every single time. And I think that some women in society give some women too much of an excuse. Oh, it's so hard to get away from that. It's so hard to get it. Do you want to live or do you want to die? Do you care about yourself or you care about your children? And the selfish acts that are occurring in domestic violence situation where women are staying with these men, putting their children in danger, you are a selfish person. You are selfish. Stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about your children. It bothers me that the kids have to go through this. Because if it was just a man and a woman and you want to get killed by a guy, then just keep dating him. Keep dating him.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, investor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet sets is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. For example, the queen sizes are regularly priced at $89.98, but now they're only $39.98 with our listeners' promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and also a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There are a limited supply, so make sure that you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com for your exclusive offer on the Percale sheets. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. So many interesting things to talk about, and so little time. In the state of Arizona, for some reason, I wish I'd have said this in the first segment because it's syndicated in Arizona, my first hour. But in Arizona, the law prohibiting people from recording law enforcement was blocked. A federal judge blocked a new Arizona law Friday that would have made it a crime to record law enforcement activity within 8 feet after receiving a warning. I don't know the thought process with judges, but I honestly believe that, you know, I think that this should be a law. You are putting police officers' lives in danger when you are violating their personal space while attempting to make an arrest or investigating a violent crime. And what happens is people, they have to worry about multiple things. They get distracted. The criminals can get away. All of the above, man. Look, all you got to do is back up. It didn't say that it was illegal for you to record. It says after a warning, it could be criminal if you are continuing to record in less than 8 feet away. 8 feet away, you can almost touch a person in 8 feet. You can almost touch them. I'm not saying you will, but you can almost touch them, maybe half the distance. So what's the problem with y'all backing off the police officers a little bit? I don't understand the problem. Says the U.S. District Judge sided with the American Civil Liberties Union, Arizona Broadcasting Association, and several news organizations, including Fox Television and NBC Universal, by granting the plaintiff a preliminary injunction to stop HB 2319 that would have gone into effect on September the 24th. The ACLU representatives called this law a blatant attempt to gut the First Amendment protections for recording police. I think, now they want to care about the First Amendment. I think it has nothing to do with the First Amendment. You can still record the police. You just have to back up a little bit. That's the only caveat. You just back up a little bit to make sure that they have proper safety. Now, I got a couple clips that I want to play that I think are relevant to the conversations that we're having today on these political issues. Kamala Harris' brain is frying as we speak. And I want you guys to hear what the Vice President of the United States is saying as it relates to this open border. Now, I want you to, and I know I'm switching subjects here, but I want you to understand that she is supposed to be responsible as the border czar, or whatever they want to call her. She's supposed to be responsible as the Vice President of the United States of America to effectively change or help assist and guidance on making sure our borders are secure, and she ain't doing sugar, honey, iced tea. She ain't doing nothing. But I want y'all to listen to what she said. Roll clip 3.
We have a secure border in that is a priority for any nation, including ours and our administration. But there are still a lot of problems that we are trying to fix, given the deterioration that happened over the last 4 years. We also have to put in place a law and a plan for a pathway for citizenship for the millions of people who are here and are prepared to do what is legally required to gain citizenship. We don't have that in place because people are playing politics.
The fact that she said that we have a secure border should get her fired or put in jail. I don't know. I think it's in the aiding and abetting terrorists by lying about the border and not doing anything about blocking these people from coming into our country. And there needs to be a plan in place to get people citizenship. Well, I think there needs to be a plan in place to accelerate getting people citizenship who applied lawfully. Why should there be a plan in place to accelerate citizenship for people who came in this country illegally? I just don't understand the logic here. You just poo-poo on the men and women who tried to come over here illegally because they want to do the right thing. They applied for visas. They had an asylum claim, whatever the case may be. They wanted to come over here legally. They came through a port of entry. They going through a lottery in another country to get over here and contribute to society. But y'all don't care about speeding up the process for them. You want to speed up the process for people who just bombarded our border and just came over here, and we just supposed to give them citizenship. We don't know who they are. We haven't vet these people. Many of these people are told, show up to court 7 years later. They've been in our country for 7 years. Not because they should be here. It's because our system is allowing so many of them to come over here and slapping them on the wrist. Now, we all know this, and I said this 1,000 times. The only reason they're doing this is because they need a new voting block. They need a new voting demographic. They need new government-dependent people. Because when you depend on the government, now they dictate what your life is going to be like, how much money you make, you know, who's living in the household, who the indoctrination of your children when you are subject to the government. This is what I think. Unless Kamala Harris and them, if I ever sit down and have a conversation with them, I wonder would they be honest about this or they just continue to lie. It just really makes no sense. I do agree that we need to do something about immigration. I do agree that there's people in this country that are DACA recipients, meaning that if you're a DACA recipient, meaning that you couldn't have broken any laws, you had to graduate from high school, and you have to be a contributing member of society. I think DACA people who are not citizens can still go in the military and stuff. And so it's like if you can serve this country, then you could become a citizen. If you were coming over here, no fault of your own because your parents drug you over here illegally, and you a kid that was born here, I mean, you know, you were raised here, and it was no fault of yours, why wouldn't we give these people a pathway to citizenship if they're doing what's right? I'm totally fine with that. If you're one of those DACA recipients and you serve in the military or you become a police officer, I don't know if they can become police officers. If that is the case, you serve this country with your life, when you come back home, you get citizenship. That's how I would do it. Unless somebody has an opposing view, they can convince me anything different. and the people who come over here illegally, you got to go back. You have to go back. I don't care what your circumstance is. You're going to just die in the desert then. You got to go back. Because there's a lot more, there's a lot of other people that need to get here too. You can't just come here because you ran through a border. You got to go back. You have to go back. And the anchor baby stuff got to stop. You can't just come here and pop a baby out and somehow the baby's a citizen here. You can't go to Mexico and do that. You can't go to Europe and do that. You can't go to Africa and do that. There's no continent on planet Earth that you can go to except in the United States of America, in this country, that you could somehow pop a baby out and now it's an American citizen. It's primed for people to take advantage of the system. It's primed. Just imagine a person vacationing in the United States of America while they're pregnant and a baby pop out. That baby is a citizen of the United, can be considered a citizen of the United States of America. It's just beyond me, man. Back to when I was talking to that guy on the airplane. If you just sit down, normal Americans, I'm not talking about these nuts, these people who are deranged. I'm not talking about them. They don't count on either side. I'm talking about the average American. You sit down and you say, what do you think about guns? The average American will say one of two things. I love my Second Amendment, and it has nothing to do. I don't care what nobody say. I'm not getting rid of any guns. It's written in the Constitution. And I have a right by God. That's a reasonable person in my mind. Then you have the other person that's saying, I believe people should be protecting themselves. I believe people should be able to own guns. It's the Second Amendment right. But we need to have a way to stop criminals from getting these guns and killing people. Now, those two arguments can exist in the same sphere. Those are the average Americans, I think, that will have that conversation. Even people who don't necessarily oppose to legislation to curb violent criminals from getting guns, they still never come hard and say, I don't think people should have guns. People shouldn't have AR-15s. There's no rational person that think people shouldn't have AR-15s. You're not rational. You're irrational. Somebody asked me one time, Brandon, what you need an AR-15 and all those magazines for? I said, man, if more than one person come to my house, I want to be able to outgun them. I shouldn't have to be at a disadvantage because somehow the government thinks that bad guys got too many guns, so they're going to take mine. Come on, man. I want a bullet. I don't discriminate. I want all of them to get as much lead as possible. They can all share. Maybe they can get a 2-for-1. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Office Tatum Show.
Hit the beat now. This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Back to the common ground conversation that we were having before the break is that I don't know if you guys agree with me or not. I just honestly believe that if every American would have a sit down and have a conversation with each other, I don't think we will come across as divided as it appears that we are, or we will be less divided if we actually communicated. Like I was explaining about the gentleman on the plane, I knew he was the left. He was on the left. I knew he was. Just by the mask on the plane, I said he must be a Democrat. However, after we actually communicated with each other, we found that we had a lot more things in common. Bourbon was one of those things. Now, I know I'm a Christian. I don't get drunk, but I do love bourbon. And so we start talking about all of our favorite bourbon. We start, you know, giving these experiences on the airplane. I mean, he's married. I'm married. He has a family. I have a family. All of those things we agreed on. And he was open enough to ask me about my beliefs in Donald Trump. And I said, he go, why, you know, Donald Trump? I mean, yeah, that's interesting. And I said, man, I met the guy. I'm not looking at CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. And I met the guy, and I thought he was genuine. You know, I thought he was genuine. In no way, form, or fashion, I think the man was racist. I mean, he invited me and Candace Owens, two black people, and we had the last time when he had COVID and his first address to the public, we showed up at the White House. It was like 2,000 of us. So, man, got 2,000 black people on the lawn at the White House. You know, we would have actually gone in the White House if he wasn't sick. But we got all these people at the White House. That don't sound like a racist to me. I saw him at the UFC fight. We took a selfie together. It didn't sound like a racist to me. Now, you may not agree with his policy, or maybe you do. You may not agree with his leadership, Or maybe you do. But at the end of the day, if a rational person was to evaluate Trump, they would nowhere near come to the conclusion that he was a racist. Now, I think these Democrats are racist, but that's not here nor there. I met him. I said, look, man, this is what I think about Donald Trump. He agreed with me. Not unless he was afraid to disagree with me. He agreed with me on policy. Said, yeah, man, I have to say, I really like his policies. I'm like, yeah, that's what a president is about. A president isn't about, do you think he's sexy or not? You know, or do you think he comb his hair right? Or can he talk good? It's like, dude, are you effective or are you not? Are you getting stuff done in there? Are you just toeing the line of the political agenda? And it just made me realize that most of us don't have that much not in common. But it does seem to be a beta spirit for the people that just despise Trump. Like, it's a beta spirit. When I say beta, you know, they got alpha males and you got beta males. It's like a beta spirit because almost every guy that says it, they get all wimpish and they like cry a little bit. I don't like Trump. He's mean. He's just nasty. Listen to what he said to women. And they in the locker room talking about all kind of stuff, showing naked pictures of their wives to people. And they on talking about Trump. I can't believe he would say that on Access Hollywood. People are so hypocritical, man. Listen, I was born during the day. I wasn't born yesterday. And I did a lot of cutting up in my life. Ain't no way in the world with half of these dudes that didn't come out and got busted for saying stuff behind closed doors. Ain't no way in the world I'm pumping my chest. Before I got saved, when I was in college, man, we used to say all kinds of stuff. It was bad, man. I had to repent from that stuff. You talking about Donald Trump. Have you been to a college football locker room? And I don't know what it's like in basketball and gymnastics or whatever these other girls. I'm sure they just as nasty as we were. You in college, all the college students eyeing each other, trying to see what they can get. You know what I'm talking about, especially if you went to college and you played sports. We said all kind of stuff. It's all kind of pictures, videos floating around. And I'm just being honest, man. That's why you got to teach your young daughters, man, and your sons. You got to teach your young daughters a little something before they go to college. Because they're going to be on somebody's videotape. And everybody in the football locker room going to see it. And that's something you need to tell your kids before they go to college. Like, look, I know it's cool and it's hip to be hanging out and doing stuff, but you don't want to get on nobody's highlight tape because they going to show it to everybody. Don't think that little boy that's 18 years old, 19, 20 years old, got enough maturity that he gonna be only exclusively with you. Girl, everybody. We saw all the girls on the – I ain't going to say that. Let me not give it away. But, yeah, we were sharing them. And I had to repent. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But anyway, I don't understand why people have to be so fake. That's one thing I liked about Trump, because he wasn't fake. He was just keeping it real. Maybe he do grab women as a billionaire. And y'all better not lie and act like women don't let him. He ain't talking about good women like y'all listening. Wholesome women who are married or about to get married, want to get married, saving yourself a marriage, whatever the case may be. He ain't talking about y'all. He talking about them ones on OnlyFans and stuff. The girls that just, they'll do anything for a like and a share. They'll do anything for a ride in the passenger seat of the Bentley. They will show it off. They'll tell it off, and they'll do it all. Imagine, and people out here, they live in a fantasy world. They say, oh, women, you know, women are bad. Not y'all, because y'all are perfect, but some of these women are nasty. And can I keep it real with y'all on the radio? I'm telling you, like, you know, I got a lot of people that follow me on social media. I had a woman just randomly send me her chest. I was offended that she would do that to me. Not know me, don't know what's going on, just send me her stuff. Like, what am I going to do with that? But some women do that. And the men are probably worse than that. They showing all kind of stuff. Y'all, we heard the stories. But don't act like these women are innocent. They out here doing all kind of cutting up. They create these dirty dog men, if you ask me. Let me move on. Soft on crime policies in Colorado could mean $848 million in stolen vehicles this year. Reports say total value of stolen vehicles in Colorado could reach an estimate of $848 million this year. A new report of automotive theft says. The report, compiled by the Common Sense Institute, a free enterprise think tank, found that the state is on pace to surpass a record 48,000 auto thefts this year, with the total value estimated at $468 million. Can you imagine that? Soft on crime. They believe in reimagining police. Now you're going to reimagine your paycheck due to the failed systems. Hold the phone, y'all. I'll be back after the break.
Is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. I have to, as soon as we get the clip, we just sent it at the last minute, but I want to talk about how, given the spirit of the NFL, they're still talking about Colin Kaepernick. I'm not going to say they. Stephen A. Smith is talking about Colin Kaepernick. For whatever reason, the Dallas Cowboys probably lost the game. I didn't watch it. But because they're talking about it and they're floating around the idea of Colin Kaepernick playing for the Cowboys, they must have lost the game or did not play well. Let me read the article. It says Dallas Cowboys have a major issue at quarterback moving forward as Dak Prescott fractured his right thumb in Sunday night's loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It says, while the Cowboys will likely go with Cooper Rush as the starting quarterback and Will Greer as his backup, ESPN star Stephen A. Smith floated the possibility of the team taking a flyer on Colin Kaepernick. Smith said he didn't think it would even happen, but broached the topic anyway. It is embarrassing for Stephen A. and people to still be talking about Colin Kaepernick. What make you think a man that has not played football for like 5 or 6 years? Listen, this is not somebody trying out in aviation or something. Like, I mean, you're talking about perishable skills. You're talking about a chef life. You know, these great athletes don't last that long. I don't care how good you are. In 5 years, you ain't as good as you were, even though you're in your 30s. You know, except if you're sitting in the pocket like Tom Brady and these offensive linemen are risking their life every day to make sure you don't get sacked, getting concussions and dying on the line just so they don't come and slap the ball out of your hand and cause you to throw an interception. You know, if you ain't him, you ain't lasting that long. Your talents are not gonna precede you. And if Colin Kaepernick was Michael Vick, then I would say, yeah, what would they like? All right, put him in there. Let him see. But Colin Kaepernick ain't no Michael Vick. Why do I bring up Michael Vick? Michael Vick killed dogs, went to prison, and he got back in the NFL. He went to prison, y'all. He in the prison yard working on his throwing motion. Juking Big Tony now. Because you know they were trying to get him. And somehow you think that Colin Kaepernick, who wrote the bench before he left, and then when he got in the game, he didn't do that well. You think he should go back into the NFL? Let me tell y'all something real quick. Colin Kaepernick don't want to play in the NFL. He don't want to play in the NFL. He wants to be an activist. That dude has raked in tens of millions of dollars probably at this point, or at least it's in his future, of raking in tens of millions of dollars being an activist. Let me play this clip for you before I run out of time, because I want you to hear Stephen A. Smith literally lose his salvation on the radio or on the broadcast and hear Michael Irvin just throw him under the table and stomp him. Roll the clip.
This is a different subject for another day, maybe. It will never happen, in my opinion. Might want to make that call to Colin Kaepernick. Might want to take that chance. Might want to find out. Now, he ain't been around. but he's a playmaker with his legs. Who's available? You got to take that into consideration. You got to take all. Now, I don't think it will ever happen because it's in Texas, in the state of Texas. You know what I'm saying? You know, patriotic individuals that they pride themselves on being since, you know, the whole Kaepernick situation was hijacked. That narrative was hijacked. To them, it's that. And Jerry Jones not going to let that get in the way of business. But I would think about it. I would say that. And getting back to reality, because I don't think that's reality.
Before everybody grabs this and try to run with
I'm saying you got to
let's
think.
Start with this Colin Kaepernick stuff. Okay. Let's just stop. Okay. Colin Kaepernick's been out of football for, what, 5 years now?
Yeah. Something like that.
Come on, man, let's stop. Let's all of a sudden thinking we can go resurrect Colin Kaepernick and he's going to come resurrect a football team. I'll take my chances with Cooper Rush. I will take my chances with Cooper Rush. I saw Cooper Rush win a football game last year.
I'm not running down that. It's just that about five different people were in my ear this morning bringing up Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
So I thought I'd bring it up to football people and say, I've been saying for the longest, he's been gone for years now. People wanted me to bring that up, so I said fine.
Nobody wants you to bring that up, Stephen A. Nobody wants you to bring that. You're a Colin Kaepernick sympathizer. You want to resurrect the spirit of Colin Kaepernick, and he is super trash. And if he get in the NFL and he become an activist, he's going to be a liability to any team he plays for. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be a sports guru to understand this. Your talent has to outweigh your drama. If your talent outweigh your drama, you win. Vice versa, you lose. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Got a couple people calling in. I see a couple people. Half of the sheet is full. 844-900-7243. If you want to call in. Let me get to a couple people that have been waiting for an incredibly long time. James from South Carolina, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Officer Tatum. During your bumper music, you have got to get rid of the whoop whoop. It's affecting our quality of life. Have you ever listened to it?
I'm gonna tell Sean on you, man. Sean, he said you got to eliminate the whoop whoop in it.
Got to eliminate the whoop whoop. It's very extremely annoying.
Is that it's because you think you're getting pulled over or what?
No, it's just you've got the radio on a certain volume and the music is about right, and then all of a sudden whoop whoop. Really annoying. I'm not kidding. Have you ever listened to it yourself?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I played in my truck in Arizona. But we'll consider it, James. Just for you, James, we'll consider it.
Okay, I promise you I'm not the only one.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate you calling in. I don't know, Sean. He said we got to get rid of the whoop-whoop just for him. All right, let me see who else has been. Debbie from Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
Hey, Brandon, thanks for everything that you're doing. I was really glad that you brought up the issue of domestic violence because I know how law enforcement, that's like their worst nightmare calls. But I actually am a survivor of domestic violence. I was actually in a well-known cult where the elders kept telling me, if you're just nicer, he'll change. Well, I finally realized after he tried to kill me that you don't change a sociopath by being a doormat.
Yeah, oh my God. True. That's true.
You know, because they always want to sit there saying, well, you know, you can change this and you can change. No, like you say, that's God's job, not mine.
a thousand percent. I mean, I'm so glad that you got out of that situation because who knows, you wouldn't be here today because people don't change because of other people. I mean, I honestly think that if you give in, you give a tacit approval to some of these sociopaths, psychopaths, crazed people, they just get worse. It's like they're just feeding into it.
Oh, yeah, especially when they've got an entire system that's telling them that, well, no, the man's in charge here, and that it's the woman's responsibility to make sure that he never gets upset about anything. Well, sorry. Anybody who knows anything about narcissistic personality disorder knows that as soon as you go off script, they lose it.
Right, 100%. Debbie, thank you so much for the call. I'm glad she brought up the fact of the dynamics between men and women. Like, I think people forget, you know, I think they're crazy. You know, when the Bible talks about a man, a woman shall love her husband and all that submit to her husband, the man has a responsibility too. It don't just stop there. You should love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, let me explain this to you. Loving somebody is an action word. It's not a word you just say. You don't look at your wife and say, I love you, and that's it. It's your actions should show that you love your wife. Your words should confirm your actions. And that's the same thing when it comes to marriage and it comes to relationships between men and women. God has prescribed that a woman shall submit to her husband, and a husband shall love his wife as Christ loved the church, and Christ died for the church. He died. You cowardice men running around acting like a woman's supposed to be a doormat and she's supposed to kiss your rear end and you, like you a king. But you forgot the second part, that you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church, meaning that you're willing to die. You stand up to the brutality. You're willing to sacrifice it all for your family. I wish that men would get a hold of this. I see these young dudes out here my age, and they be talking super crazy. Oh, a woman needs to cook me food. When I want a woman to cook food, that's all I ask of you is to cook food. I work all day, and I come home, and I want you to cook. It's like, dude, you got to be the stupidest person in the world. And you know, the funny thing is that people that talk like that, they're all single. It's like, yeah, of course. See, my wife loves me. That's why she make me snacks and stuff while I'm on the radio. My wife loves me. That's why she wash my clothes and do stuff like that. Because what? She is here to support me. I'm not sitting on the couch asking my wife to cook food for me. I'm working hard. I'm building things for our family. And so as a partnership, she does things to help me build, and I do things to help her take care of the baby. And we partner with each other in that mission. Now, my wife trusts me to lead because God has called me to lead. And my wife is not, I didn't have my wife with me for me to just not listen to her and say, no, you got to shut up and sit in the back and only God talks to me. It's like, no, you are here and God gave you or put you in my life for a reason. I'm interested in your input on these major decisions. And at the end of the day, I make the final decision. That's what my wife trusts me to do. If she didn't trust me to do it, she wouldn't have married me. And if you're a woman and you feel like you can't trust your husband to make the final decision, then maybe you married the wrong person. This is like, I relate almost all of this stuff to football. You know, as a coach, you tell Tom Brady what play you believe he should run. At the end of the day, Tom Brady is going to make the ultimate decision of whether he's going to throw to the running back or he's going to throw to the guy running the post corner. Is he going to tuck the ball and run himself, which is rare? He make the final decision. If you, as a coach, cannot trust that your quarterback is going to make the right decision to win the game, you got the wrong man on the football field. And I know that it's a weird different dynamic because obviously a woman is not like a coach and a man is not like a quarterback. But I'm saying that relationship of trust, a person to make the final decisions. And I just really wish we had classes that people will teach in school instead of teaching about transgenderism and getting your breasts cut off and puberty blockers and pronouns. They should be teaching young women how to be wives and teaching young men how to be effective husbands. I don't know why we don't teach this in school. That is one of the most important parts of your life. How do you be an effective wife? How do you keep a man? You having an effective husband is the population of the world is dependent on it. I think people forget women are life givers. If they go down the drain, we don't have a society. Teach young men how to be husbands, not boyfriends. Teach women how to be wives, not girlfriends, not side chicks, not one night stands. Not a girl that I think is hot and I want to sleep with. Let's keep it real. But somebody that's a quality woman that men want as a wife. I know it's easier said than done, but teach your young daughters how to be wives. My sons, I got a 12-year-old and then I got a 1.5-year-old. My 12-year-old going to get the lesson first. But I'm going to teach my son, when you are dating, you're dating with intention. You are seeking a wife. You're not seeking a girlfriend. If the girl ain't who you want to marry, you shouldn't waste your time with her. And if you don't know who you want to marry, you shouldn't waste your time trying to be married. Go live your life, build yourself, become the best version of yourself. And when you're prepared to settle down with one woman and you believe that she's effective and efficient in your life to make your life better, then you choose her. Don't choose no OnlyFans, no Instagram models and all this old crazy stuff because they cute today and they ugly tomorrow. A lot of them that's cute on the outside, they ugly on the inside. And so that's what my prescription to you young people that are watching, and if it's your cousin, them telling them to listen to this later on the podcast. These are the things we need to teach our young people, because divorce rates are out of control. It's out of control. And I think a lot of it is men's fault. They don't know how to lead. They're not told how to lead. They don't see examples of leaders. And all they're doing is looking at butt and not looking at the brain. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to The Officer Tatum Show. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is The Officer Tatum Show. I'm afraid to tell it like it is. Is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
All right, man, y'all are calling and calling and calling. 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. Let me get Ken from Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thanks, Officer Tatum. Thank you very much. I want to talk about, because I live in Illinois, right? These changes that's coming in 2023. I think you talked about them on your show Sunday. And I let my wife take a look at it. She put it on her Facebook page because there are so many people here, especially black people, okay, that don't even look at anything. And they put it, what they call it, the SAFE Act. Yeah, they call it the SAFE Act. So, a lot of people weren't going to look into it. So, I had to let her see it for herself, because she's she's partially, leaning toward the demon rats, because she used to watch The View, CNN. I finally got her to stop watching CNN and The View. So, it's baby steps. But I had to show her because the difference between demon rats and conservatives, demon rats lie and use emotions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And conservatives come from receipts. Now, I totally despise demon rats, Joe Biden, and all them people, right? But if you don't have receipts on them, I'm not going to believe what you say. And all you conservative guys have nothing but receipts. So, So I do respect that. I'm not going by no emotions or nothing like that. Total receipts. And so just keep on doing your work, And, just trying to open up a few eyes at a time. It's hard for them to leave the plantation.
Right. No, I'm with you 1,000% on that. Yeah. Ken, thank you so much for the call. Yeah, the slow drip of knowledge and understanding and patience and love and information is what changes people, in my personal opinion. People will be changed if we methodically show them the truth. I'm telling you, my grandmother watched Uncle Tom 2. Well, she watched Uncle Tom the first movie. She watched it, I think it was a week ago when I asked about it. I was shocked that my grandma said she liked Uncle Tom 1. Now, Uncle Tom 2, I think, is even more intense. I told her, I said, you got to watch Uncle Tom 2 if you liked 1. But my grandmother was born in the 40s. And she told me that she lived through the 60s. Obviously, You know, she lived through Jim Crow South, in the Jim Crow South. She lived through segregation. And she had admitted that she loved the movie that is portraying and perpetuating and illuminating conservative values. And I was shocked because I never talked to my grandma about politics. I've assumed that all my family members are more liberal. Many of them are. But, man, this last time, one of my uncles was like, this is a funny story. I wish my uncle was listening. I was over at my daddy's house, and we were smoking cigars and having some drinks, and my uncle was just going off about the Democrats. He was like, man, the Democrats ain't done nothing for black people. And it's funny because one of his bosses follow me. I mean, like a really big fan of mine. I actually called him on the phone when I was with my uncle, but he followed me, and he keeps telling my uncle, you need to listen to your nephew. He going to get you right. But to hear my uncle kind of, you know, move the needle and express a consistent viewpoint that I have in conservative values in the Republican Party was very shocking to me. And even my dad, you know, it's funny. My dad sent me a picture of him with his AR-15 he bought. And all he sent me was Second Amendment. And I'm like, all right. That's what I'm talking about. You know, so it's interesting how you don't have to beat people over the head about politics, man. You just have to be there to catch them when they fall, right? When they go fall on their head because they're not being taught the right thing or being told the right thing, and you catch them, and you catch them with the facts, that's a lot of conversion that occur because of that. All right, let me see who else has been waiting. Let me go with Mike from Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, Officer Tatum. I love your show. First-time caller, long-time listener. First, real quick comment. You got to keep that whoop whoop. That's your previous caller didn't know what he was talking about.
So we won for one. I mean, we won one and one now. We got a plus and a minus. Okay.
Right, exactly. He's probably going to be the only one that says that.
Yeah.
I wanted to comment, a couple of quick comments. I think you nailed the nail on the head with the immigration thing. My, I'm Armenian by ethnic background. My parents and grandparents immigrated here legally. I grew up in Chicago, actually, but still know the language and everything fluently too. So, but anyway, they did it legally. You know, I don't see why anyone else wouldn't want to do it legally. You know, and secondly, you know, related to the illegals coming in, first of all, yeah, it is against the law, and they need to be punished by law over that. I was always very firm about that, and it became even firmer when my dad was murdered. The guy that killed him, I call it a murder, mainly because to me there's no difference between being drunk and having a handgun versus being drunk and being in a car. He was killed by a drunk driver. The guy that killed him happened to be an illegal man. I saw the aftermath of that, unfortunately. That's where I stand with that too, and I wholeheartedly agree with everything you say about that too, and it's I don't know what else to say, but I guess part of it's because I'm nervous too. But
yeah, Mike, thank you so much for the call, and I appreciate it. Sorry that happened to you, your father, but it's very weird, man, because in my life, I'm starting to learn vicariously through the negative behaviors from other people. I'm starting to learn that every little decision that you make will lead to a bigger outcome later in life. People try to say, oh, no, it's just one or two illegals, man. They come in here for a better opportunity. You think about all of these poor decisions of allowing these people over here. It's contributing to negative effects in the future. If they had been stronger on the border, maybe Mike's father could still be alive today if they had made sure that these illegals couldn't get in our country. Little decisions can create a tremendous effect in the outcome of a situation like that. Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show. Rattling trunks from sea to shining sea.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show, ladies and gentlemen. People are calling in 844-900-7243. Let me see who else has been on here. I'm going to go with Vivian from Brooklyn. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, Officer Tatum, I wish we can get your speech about men and women, families, into so many high schools and get it really before the young people. I'm a chaplain, and I believe very strongly that the country is going to, like a banana republic type of situation. I'm very alarmed at the fact that the FBI, there's a rumor that the FBI is going to go and raid the homes of Trump supporters like they did with Giuliani and with even some of the other, some more of his supporters. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's very interesting. Of course, if that rumor is true, I think that that is a breach of our constitutional rights in this country, and we are living in a banana republic, and I hope that people will go to prison once we get power. However, you know, I wonder if there's some truth to some of this, you know, or at least truth meaning that they have probable cause to get a warrant to search some people who are associated to Trump. Because like Paul Manafort, like when I go back and think about him, he did commit crimes. You know, he was it was from 15 years ago, but he did commit crimes. You know, some of these other people are guilty. They're just attacking them because they're on Trump's side, although there's crimes being committed. So I'm hoping that it's not a situation where there are Trump supporters who are actual criminals and they're going after them and just trying to make him look bad. I'm hoping that's not the case. And I'm also hoping that they're not fervently trying to go after Trump supporters for no reason. With no probable cause, no right to pursue.
Could I ask you one more question, sir?
Yes.
I believe that when, or rather, I want to share another thought. When Mr. Biden made his unity speech, I believe he was saying, us united against the MAGA people. Did you see a shade of that as well? That's why I'm thinking with the IRS, 87,000 IRS, and the FBI already breaching people's homes and not following the Constitution, Merrick Garland deciding not to even look at Hunter Biden's situation, which is totally criminal. I think we're in real trouble. What do you think about that speech?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was very polarizing. It was very clear that they wanted to make a delineation between America and Trump supporters. Now, of course, he came back to make a clarification to say that he's not talking about constituents. He's not talking about us. He's talking about the people who are in politics, who are on the MAGA train. But we all know what the signal was. We all know that they really are painting a picture that all of us are evil and coming directly against the American values, and they're setting the tempo and the stage for something else for them to do to us that's unjustifiable so people won't feel as bad. So I think that there's a remnant of that. I hope I'm not too suspicious, but who knows? We'll find out. But we need to win in the midterm.
God bless you. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
God bless you as well. It's Viviana. All right, I think I said Vivian. Maybe it's Viviana. I think I said it right this time. But no, I mean, I don't know. You know, there are some things that are legitimate and there are some things that are illegitimate. You know, could they have gone in Trump's Mar-a-Lago house? Was it legitimate? and unreasonable, right? I mean, Hillary Clinton committed a crime, but they said no reasonable prosecutor would take on the case, which is not up to Director Comey to make that decision, even though he made it anyway. You know, it's just, who knows, man? Unless I was on that FBI raid, I don't know if they really had a real reason. And when you look at policing, you look at law, they can always find a reason. I'm just being honest. They can always find a reason to arrest people. It's like when I was a cop in the academy, they told us, if you want to pull a person over on a traffic stop, just follow them for about 5 minutes. They're going to commit a traffic violation. It's just there. Are they malicious? Are they evil? No, it's just somehow, some way, there's so many laws in the books that they may violate something that they're not aware of. Same thing could happen in Donald Trump. I mean, maybe he did something that he wasn't aware of. It was just a mix-up in communication, and they're pursuing it only because he's Trump.
Is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
I just want to finish it by just illustrating that if we want to be successful as a people, whether it's politically, whether it's in your family, we have to pursue God first. Everything that I am, everything that people perceive me to be, all of the good that you see in me is because I pursue God first. It's really not that hard. I mean, let me just say this. It's not that hard for me, I don't think, to put God first. How do I do that? I meditate on the things of God day and night. I'm thinking about God all day long. I'm playing worship music when I'm driving in my car, in my truck. And those things help me focus on my true purpose on this earth. And that is to serve God. I don't know how long I'll be alive. I may live for 120 years. I have no idea. But what I do know and what I can't control is that I'm going to put God first and try my best within my power to please God. And that's by knowing the scripture enough to activate what he's called us to do. No matter how successful I get, my goal is to serve other people. This is rewarding to be on the radio. But it's also a service because it's a sacrifice of time, effort, energy, psychological well-being. Y'all know how crazy politics is? Imagine talking about it for 3 hours a day and studying it for another hour or two before you get on the show to talk about it. And also doing videos on YouTube and also speaking all around the country. It is a sacrifice. It's rewarding. It's a blessing, but it's a sacrifice. Why? Because I feel that God has called me to do this work. Some people have been called to do other things. So since God has called me, I'm going to give it my best effort because I know it's going to yield what? It's going to yield a blessing. And the blessing may come down the lineage. The blessing may manifest now. You know, I don't know. Maybe my radio becomes one of the biggest syndicated radio shows in America. All I know is that I need to pursue God first. So for those of you who are listening, I only got about 30 seconds left. If you're wondering, what do I do in my life? I don't know what my mission is. I don't know where I go. Who do I marry? Pursue God first. And all of that other stuff will start to fall into place for you. Just remember that. And don't forget to worship God for the things that he's already done for you. So God bless you guys. Thank y'all for listening. I will be back promptly at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time tomorrow. I love you guys. Y'all stay blessed. I'll talk to you next show. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.